All right, folks, welcome back for not belated, but we took a week off. New Year's, Christmas. We're back. Basketball version of MWWire.com. Jeremy Moss hanging out with Eli Betker. So how was your break? Restful?
It was good. Definitely got a lot of basketball viewing in, so that's always a necessity.
Of course. That's what we're here to talk about. Hoops. Did you dab at all?
No, I haven't. I never will, and I never have.
My your girl does it all the time. It's like, dab, 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 dab. I'm like, jeez. Do you know when that was popular in any moment in time, a couple years ago? Or is it still kind of popular?
Arenas have done dab cam. Like, I've seen that. I've gone to the Mariners games at Safeco Field, and they have dab cams and stuff, because they just try to do all those kinds of things to get the kids interested in the game, because apparently the game itself isn't interesting enough. So bring up the dab cam, and all the 8 to 10-year-olds love it. And hopefully not anyone older than that. But
well, we got a surprise for you, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get into it. I did mention for pre-show, I'm throwing a curveball sort of. I'm like, oh, we'll talk about this. And then the Utah State dab Twitter attack came at me just now again. So we're talking about the Aggies, who they're doing pretty good this year. We'll talk about last night's game. Utah State, UNLV, on the road. And also, let me make a preface. I'll say this a million times. If you win a road game, congratulations, because it's very
difficult.
So Utah State played UNLV. They won 85-78. After Utah State did they almost blow a 10-point lead, you would say?
Yeah, that's fair.
But after the game, they put on Twitter, which we'll get to the game itself and other stuff with Kobe McEwen, who's doing quite well the past week. On Twitter, they end a 23-year drought in Las Vegas. And then they have, who is on there? Coach Duryea and who else? Do you know who those other two people are?
I think the other two were assistants.
Some assistant coaches. They put out a tweet last night, 11:13 Mountain Time, so well after the game, dabbing, which... it looks like this was done pregame, or they just did this for a stock gif because the background looks
probably stock.
A stock gif to use at certain points. Okay, congratulations on beating UNLV, 23-year drought. But I just look it up, but I don't think they've played that much that often because they both weren't in the Big West. They weren't in the WAC. This is probably, I don't know, they've only played a handful of times since they've been in the conference. So the 23-year drought's kind of misleading.
I could find that information out rather quickly, but yeah, the dab can, I can never side with that. But in their defense, that is a pretty impressive win. They've had an awesome week, going 2-0 on the road in a conference that is incredibly difficult to win on the road.
Oh yeah, Fresno was a road game too, wasn't it? No, Fresno was a home game.
Fresno, hold on a second.
Yes, because the reason I know that the Mountain West Network video was the radio feed for the Aggies Network, because I know one of the guys who calls the games. And then SI called them out like, hey, you could have been more enthusiastic about the call, like a huge dunk by Fresno, but it was the Utah State radio guy. So it's like, well, how enthusiastic are they going to be because it's the radio call?
Okay. Yep, you're right.
But still, that Fresno, like both those games, like Fresno game, they went to overtime after being, they did do a big comeback. Weren't they, was it 9-0 run to end the game to get to force overtime?
Utah State was down double digits with about 4 minutes left. Fresno State didn't make a field goal in the last 4-plus minutes, and just a bizarre finish. But Utah State was able to close that one out and pick up the overtime victory, and that makes it two really quality wins against top five, top six teams in the Mountain West, and Utah State standing at 3-1 alongside some of the better teams in the conference. And at least to me, I really wasn't expecting that heading into the year, so... pretty impressive start for Tim Duryea and his Aggies.
I think they're predicted 7th because I was looking at the play chart. I remember there's free throws late where McEwen could have won the game, but he went 1 of 2 free throws. And the foul. Like, the foul, was that a foul? Because did you see the end of this game? Did you happen to tune
in? I did.
You noticed a fake travel call, right?
I'm not sure which one.
Well, late in the game, there's a travel call that was called a travel, but then they give McEwen, they give the call a foul on Deshaun Taylor. Which I totally think was a makeup call.
Okay. Yeah, I see.
There was something late. I'm like, really? But it happened. If you fouled 0.9 seconds left, they were down once. They had to, but it's like, well.
And Deshaun Taylor, who is one of the best free throw shooters in the country, he went, he had a 1-1 and missed the front end on that one. So just a bizarre finish, but weird things happen. And these types of situations, we have two teams that are trying to prove their own worth in the conference, and Utah State with a surprising 3-1 start to league play.
So, yeah, and with the UNLV game, like McEwen, he's going to be our player of the week. I'll have our video and stuff later. I don't think it's that close because 2-0, 20-plus points. I didn't really see anybody else who was that close. But didn't Haden Dalton have one big game, but one game he scored like in single digits, I think. But I'm like, but so it's like, well, I got to have two good games. So 20 points overall wasn't great at other numbers. But the UNLV game, like, Rebels, like, oh, we got this. We're going to win. But they're down 10. And this is at home, too. It's like, you're at home and you lose to a team where you shouldn't be losing. Because UNLV, I think they're correcting themselves because I saw, they look at their non conference schedule, who they're playing. Outside of Arizona, and I guess Arizona, Utah's looking to be pretty good because they almost beat Arizona, actually. Sorry. Then they beat Illinois, is not going to be that good. Good, but they've had a couple. Those are only games. Every game been breezy. And so they go on the road to San Jose State, nearly lose. They lose at home to UNLV. They lose at home to Boise State. So is this team really going to be like fifth or sixth, like maybe sixth place like we all thought?
They're probably middle of the pack. And I'm not going to put too much stock into just a handful of games, but the way that they start off.
Why not? You
got to
overreact. Come on, overreact.
We definitely know some people are, and Brandon McCoy had a tweet last night that said, like, everyone take it easy, we'll be fine.
Yeah, take it easy. That's fair.
Boise State, I understand that they would lose that one. That's a tough matchup, just the way that the Broncos play and how they match up with UNLV. So they lost that one by 9, didn't really look that great. San Jose State, they had no business nearly losing that game. They had to just barely escape in overtime at San Jose. And then Utah State, they trailed much of the game, and that was a case. So they start off 1-2 after an 11-2 start, and the two losses before conference play are both in overtime. So they didn't have their first loss in regulation until December 30th against Boise State. So I did find out an interesting fact last night when I was just digging through some of UNLV's stats on the season. And you take into account how UNLV has performed based on a points per possession basis, and against sub 175 KenPom teams, which makes up, I believe, half of their 16 games so far, they would be second in the nation in net efficiency. But then when you take that into account, the top 75 KenPom teams, so top 175, excuse me, Illinois, Arizona, Utah, Boise State, Utah State, those teams, I think they're around 170th in the country. So you go from second in the nation to 170th. So they're pretty much one of the best teams in the nation when they're playing against average to less than average teams. But once you play the top half of the country, they're an average team themselves. So that's something to keep an eye out on.
Interesting. Yeah, like McCoy's right. As joking, kind of overreacting, but Utah State lost. It's not a good loss at home. Like, it's just the past two games where it's like, well, they... Is this really them, or is this just, oh, we had a stretch because it's a road and home game? It's two ways to look at it, but again, maybe Utah State's better than we thought, because remember, they almost beat Gonzaga without McElwain on the court, on the road too. And so, and we have Sam Merrill go for 20 points. They have Brown Jr. go 15. They have off the bench, they get, 20 points off the bench. And so it's one of the better games Utah State's played all year. And so UNLV is probably obviously somewhere in between. They're probably better than they are versus scraping by versus San Jose State. But again, like I said, road games. Look at Nevada. We'll get to them. They essentially had to do a big comeback to beat a bad Air Force team on the road. So UNLV, they'll be fine. But people saying they're going to contend for the conference, I can honestly say these past two games, meaning probably not going to contend for the conference because they're not going to win at Wyoming. They're probably not going to win at like Boise when they go back there. They're probably not going to win at San Diego State. Even at New Mexico, they probably should win. It's a toss-up. So, but I'd say at best, maybe fourth. That's still better than what most people thought. It's just people saying, oh, they're 11-2. They won. They nearly beat Boise State. They're going to contend in the conference. I just think they're a step behind Boise, which is what we've seen. Probably Nevada, of course. And maybe even Wyoming and San Diego State. They're probably closer to sixth and they're second.
I think that's a fair assessment. I do think, however, they match up pretty nicely against Nevada. I like how UNLV's size in the post could match up against Nevada. But I just can't see UNLV finishing out the last week within a game or two of whoever is in first place in the Mountain West. I think they'll probably finish in that 4-5 range in the league. And even so, that's a lot better than most people expected heading into the season. And then you also have to take into account that they are able to play the conference tournament on their home floor. So if they're able to get a favorable draw for the tournament, match up with some teams that are good matchups for them, then they have a shot to win three games and head to the tournament. So you definitely can't rule this team out with the amount of talent that they have on this roster. And to think that this whole team was going to transform from the worst team in program history to a top 25 program in the matter of one off season, I think is just a little bit too much to anticipate.
And also that game, UNLV relied on 3-point range because they're down quite a bit. They ended up shooting, what, 6-23. Utah State was 40%. So the Aggies are probably in that same range. They may surprise. We'll see. Because the games we don't like, let's get to Nevada really quick. That game started like at, what, late morning, early afternoon yesterday at Air Force. And they were down at least almost, what, 10 points just about in that game in the first half. Had to come back to against a bad Air Force team. These tests are good to have, clearly, but there's no reason this game should have been only 11-point victory.
True, and I believe that was the largest lead of the game. If not, then maybe 12 or 13. But it's too bad because, I guess I can't say it's too bad because you see Air Force, the team that's probably going to struggle in league play, so it's nice to see them compete with the league's contender. But when we're talking about Nevada's case and what we mentioned in the prior podcast with their need of to basically blow out teams or blow out the weaker teams to improve their metrics. And it's not a loss to Air Force, but I believe they're expected to win by at least 12 points or so. And especially in Boise State's case against Wyoming, which we'll talk about. But Nevada needs to handle the teams that they're not supposed to lose to and to eke out an 11-point victory against Air Force that doesn't help their standing in KenPom. And ultimately, that could decide whether or not Nevada makes it to the tournament. So they need to probably be in the 20 to 25 range. They're at 32 right now. And it's not often that you'll have a matchup against Air Force or New Mexico or San Jose State. So when they do have those opportunities, they need to capitalize. And against New Mexico at home, they only won that game by 3 points. So those are two. You get the win, which is obviously the most important thing. But what's next important is that you really put your stamp on that game. And New Mexico won those two games by a combined 14 points against the two weakest teams in the league.
Also, one quick note, like, give Air Force credit, too. They shot over 50% from the field. So they are going after this Nevada defense, which you'd think is pretty athletic. And it was mostly the starters getting the damage done. Like, rebounds, obviously they're out-rebound by quite a bit. Turnovers, they did a little bit better. They played one of their better games, Air Force. They were just shooting very well. And it could have been a thing to plan an altitude and everything higher than what Reno is compared to Air Force. So that could have been it. Because, again, your starters, both Martin guys playing 66 minutes, Caroline 34, Kendall Stevens 37 minutes. These guys play a lot of minutes. And you're playing that high, it's going to get at you. Like, even Albuquerque's pretty high altitude, people don't realize. And so that's part of it, but you got to beat these bad teams. Like, look what Nevada, or not Nevada, but New Mexico and San Jose State. New Mexico crushed them. And New Mexico's not very good. I'm not overly concerned with this, but the star players played well, but I think it's more of Air Force playing above their head than Nevada playing down. The only criticism really is that Nevada defense, which gave up probably too many points and allowed Falcons to shoot better than they normally do, over 50%.
And you'll have instances where teams outperform or shoot better than they usually do, and that was the case with Air Force, a team that has struggled to score 60, 65 points this season. But Nevada, you have to wonder a little bit because they have had a couple of games this year against teams that you have to wonder, are they playing down a little bit? They lost that game to San Francisco, a team that's not very good. Chris Murray and as well as the coaching staff kind of hinted at the fact that Nevada might have been downplaying their opponent a little bit. Creeps up again in their matchup against New Mexico when they just won by 3, and then again against Air Force. So they did play well against Texas Tech and TCU, the toughest two teams on their schedule, lost both of those ones, but did play, for the most part, generally well. But that is something to keep an eye on moving forward. And their next game is at home against Utah State this Saturday, so that's a pretty intriguing matchup with the way the Aggies have been playing.
And they get a little extra. I guess they're one game a week, so they get a little off week on Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever they would normally play. So it's just, you're right, it's a little concerning because, like you said, New Mexico, they beat Fresno by 15, which is a pretty good team. They crush Radford, but they play close to like Texas Tech and TCU. And so, man, how they beat Texas Tech, whew, dang, that'd have been helpful. They beat Kansas? Aren't they first place in the Big 12 essentially undefeated?
Yep. Texas Tech is playing excellent basketball.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they beat Baylor.
Helps the
RPI, Kansas,
though. It's better than Texas Tech losing some of these games. Like what Oregon has done since they've lost to Boise State. Man, have they fallen.
Yeah, so, all right, so let's get to the Boise game real quick because that was a big game, Boise State versus Wyoming. So, like, I think your tweet's accurate about going through Laramie. That's got to be the most accurate tweet I've seen all season.
Thank you. Like, I do have a lot of Wyoming fans aren't too pleased about that one.
Why? Because you said they're not going to win the title, but it's going to run through them where how well teams could be?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was fairly reasonable. And the reason I had that little bit at the front about the title probably not belonging in Laramie is because I don't think Wyoming is one of the best two teams in this conference, so I don't think they'll be at it right at the end. But how teams perform in Laramie, if whether or not they're able to get wins, is going to be just hugely important, because we've already seen Wyoming knock off San Diego State and Boise State in Laramie in the Arena Auditorium.
Dome of Doom. Come on. Dome of Doom.
Yeah. But it's proven time and time again that it's such a difficult place to play. And I know Wyoming has that loss to Northern Colorado at home this year. And it happens. You have a one-off loss. But besides that, they've been fantastic in their own home building. So we will see some really good matchups there. They do host Nevada on January 24th, which could be an intriguing one. They also have Fresno State and Utah State back-to-back in February. So it's fair to say how teams perform in Laramie could decide whether or not they're competing for the Mountain West title in March.
It's true. I think, like you mentioned, we've joked, but put a point out, maybe they'll go 9-0 at home, 0-9 on the road. Maybe not the case, because maybe they're a little bit better than that, but like they probably should beat New Mexico, probably should beat San Jose State and CSU. They might pile up enough wins to be like the 3 seed just because of how well they're at home. Like, they're probably, if they lose any home game, it's just the Nevada game. Every other game at home, they should win and will be favored to win. So that could be a thing where they pop wins. Like, are they really the 3rd best team? Maybe, maybe not, because home court, you play at home, that's fine. This is the prime example why when they play Colorado, they go to Denver to Pepsi Center. Or when they play Kansas State or whoever, they'll go to Pepsi Center and play. They won't go up to Laramie to play. So, I don't know. They might be a top 3 team based on record, but I don't know if they're a top 3 team. However, Hayden Dalton is my dark horse who could be player of the year from a team that's not in the top 3.
I definitely think that's a good choice. And when you talked about him in the preseason, this is a guy you need to watch out for. And it seems like Wyoming always has a player that is the star of the show and seems to be running the show. And he did have an off night against Nevada. That was kind of an odd game for both teams involved. But yeah. Against Boise, he went off again.
So this Boise game I was watching, because I kind of knew what the outcome was because I didn't watch until afterwards. I'm like, okay, they were down 16 at the half. Come back and win. And I'd say more of it had to do with Wyoming playing extremely crisp, moving the ball as well as they could in the second half, playing defense, getting fast breaks, blocks, because Dalton himself had 2 blocks. They had 8 steals. 8 steals and 4 blocks in this game. 3 by Herndon. They were attacking in the second half. And I think it's kind of it is a tell of 2 halves clearly, but Wyoming's offense didn't look good in the first half. They were shooting too many threes. They ended up going, 7-27, which is never great. But this second half, like, it started to creep up a little bit because they got, to 11 end of the first half, then got to 16. But then Wyoming's offense, they went on, like, huge run. Like, then they scored the first 10-plus points in the second half, but they were just whatever Allen Edwards said in halftime worked pretty well because they basically shut down Boise State on both sides of the ball, scoring and defense.
And Boise State just completely dominated the first half, too. Mm-hmm. They were excellent on the boards. They're knocking down shots. Chandler Hutchison finished the game with 20 free throws, and it's ridiculous. You look at the team stats. Wyoming, no individual player had an offensive rebound, and they missed 12 free throws and still came back from a 16-point deficit in the second half to win in overtime. So it's a huge win for Wyoming, and it just proves time again that the Laramie is just such a difficult place to gather wins. But for Boise State, I wouldn't put too much stock into this loss. It happens. It's a tough place to play. It is a bit of a concerning collapse, especially when you lead 22-7 10 minutes into the game and aren't able to finish that or extend the lead. So that is a bit concerning. I think otherwise they'll be fine. Justin and Jessup had an off night. He went 1-for-7 from deep. Sangfelder was just 1-of-4. So they usually don't shoot from the perimeter this poorly. But it just happens, so I think Boise State in the long run will be just fine.
And also, real quick, we look at like the advanced stuff. Like the Wyoming's RPI is up pretty big. That loss dropped them 20 spots essentially from January 1st, which is their only loss since then. It's not going to be considered a bad loss. It's a road. It's going to be a tier one loss or a group one loss because Wyoming is sitting at 54 in their RPI. So when it comes down to it, yeah, they're 0-2 because they had the SMU loss as well. So it's not going to be like Wyoming losing to Denver or Northern Colorado. it's going to be lost. Like, okay, lost on the road to a team that's rated here. Because Wyoming's RPI, which I know it's not everything, but they still take it into consideration, the new changes, it's better than what it was if they were to drop to 50 or 60. Because I guess technically Group 1, you know, the old top 50 adage, it's kind of that Group 1 is now that area, but it's extended for road games and shrunk for home games. So it's not going to come back to them. I don't know, the loss isn't surprising. It's how they lost. Like you said, they had started off 22-7, 16-point lead at half, and lose in overtime. That's the concern. Like, losing, not a big deal. How they lost is what I'm looking at. And you mentioned 14-20 free throws for Hutchinson. Only one other starter got to the line with one free throw.
Interesting. It's an excellent point that you bring up about both with the quadrant one and quadrant two losses. This one will almost certainly belong in quadrant one, which helps Boise State RPI-wise, but I wasn't expecting Boise State to head to Laramie and win that game, but like you said, the fashion in which they lost is a bit concerning, and Boise State doesn't have an easy slate ahead of them at all. They're going to be in Fresno on Tuesday night, take on the Bulldogs. That's always a tough place to play. Then they host San Diego State and Utah State, and then they go on the road to play Nevada. They're heading into the gauntlet. If they can end up 2-2 or maybe 3-1 of those games, I think you're probably looking at a really solid competitor for MWC title along with Nevada, but it's a tough stretch, and that's one of the toughest four-game stretches that you'll see all of Mountain West play.
Certainly is. Let's take a quick break here. We're going to do something different here. We're going to talk about how you can help our website out. Is that a good transition? A hard left turn?
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
Eli, do you like to save money?
I love to save money.
No, I'm kidding. We're not going to do it that cheesy. No, here's the thing. We have a pretty cool site we're part of, ebates.com. And Eli, I'm pretty sure since you're a college guy, you like to save money or like to save some money. And this is a pretty cool site. I'm not just jerking around or joking with you, but here it is. You go to ebates.com. If you're on any website imaginable, if you're buying a hotel stay, travel, because we're going to the Mountain West Tournament, and I'm looking to save a few bucks for our hotel stay because you and me will be down there. Who knows where we'll stay? Hopefully not a shady two-star place, right? That's not what the plan.
Ideally, yeah, that'd be good.
But here's what you can really do. But seriously, if you travel, like, you go to ebates.com. I add the web extension, which is pretty cool. So it basically shoots in your face, sort of. Like, hey, you can get 10% back off booking through here. 8% here. If you shop at Target or Walmart or whatever, you can get basically cash back on anything you purchase, literally anywhere. I went to try to buy a gift card from Jiffy Lube online. I could get like 5% cash back by buying something straight from there. So pretty much anywhere. And what you want to do, you'd like to sign up with us because if you sign up, you can get $15, or excuse me, sorry, $10 you would get for free for just signing up. All you got to do is go to ebates.com, write this code down. I'll put in the show notes, but write it down because we don't get a fancy wire code or something because we're sort of important, but not really, Eli. You know how that works, right?
Right on the verge of importance, right?
We're getting there. So here's what we got here. If you go to ebates.com, backslash, oh, Jesus, terrible. Just do this. Sorry, I'm not going to put this code because I thought it's shorter than what I thought. Here's the thing. ebates.com, go to our Facebook page, Mountain West Wire. You will find the details there or in the show notes here. But basically, if you sign up, you'll get 10 bucks for you. You can use for whatever you want. And then again, add the extension on Chrome or Firefox or Safari. If you make a travel, get 10% cash back, 8% on a hotel, 2% at Target or whatever. These are kind of random numbers, not giving specifics, but check it out, ebates.com. And hey, give us a thank you later because you'll get 10 bucks. And guess what? You'll help us out as well because me and Eli would like to make some lunch money, right?
Always sounds good. And then, you know, if we make some lunch money, then also are able to infuse it with some Ebates savings, and man, that'll equate to a couple free lunches, don't you think?
Think about it, because if I spend $100 in a hotel, get 10% cash back, that's $10, man.
There you go.
Hotel stay in Vegas is $90. So get to savings, ebates.com, look for our code on our Facebook page and the show notes. But back to the show. Was that good enough, you think? We good?
We got the point across.
There we go. All right, next game. Let's talk New Mexico San Jose State. We meant to keep that in, folks. That was not an off-air conversation. So New Mexico wins. How did they score any points? 80-47 over San Jose State.
Man, San Jose State offense, what are you doing? 47 points in 64 possessions? Come on.
That's I think, the epitome of not efficient basketball.
Yeah, you don't have to know analytics to know that, yikes, that's not your best showing of the year at all.
Like, the Lobos, I didn't really watch much of this, but I know the Lobos won a run. And it's funny because remember preseason or non-conference, look what we did against New Mexico Highlands. We scored 147 points. Omaha, Nebraska, 103 points. Tennessee, TNTC, who is that? Tennessee Tech, 100. Oh, no, they lost that game, but they scored 96 points. Sorry. They seem to want to change their output or offensive style depending on who they're playing. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And it's, oddly enough, this is the lowest or the fewest possessions they've had in the game all season long, 64. They have not had, looks like just three games. The rest of the season has been fewer than 70 possessions, so that's kind of an interesting slowdown pace for New Mexico.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about the game too much, but it's just a score, 80-47. Lobos are 2-2 in conference play, and Spartans are probably going to be team number 11 for tourney time. But I just want to point out, because it's 80-47, because New Mexico, didn't they lose like by a lot of points last week or something? Who was it? Let me see. They lost to Boise by almost 30 points. That's a pretty big swing. Lose 90-62, win 80-47.
Well, I mean, conference play has been just so bizarre for this team. They've played four games. They open up nearly beating Air Force by 30 at home. Then they nearly upset Nevada by 3 on the road. Mm-hmm. They get blown out by Boise State, and then they deliver nearly a 40-point loss to San Jose State. Yeah. So,
and you mentioned the Air Force game, right? You mentioned that? 39?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, it's just bizarre.
Jeez. So that's all I wanted to mention about that game, because it's weird. Let's get to Colorado State. And did we ever figure out what Coach Stacey's tweet meant?
I don't believe so, but it was an odd tweet for sure. Or I guess an odd thing to say during a press conference after a loss.
Yeah, they lost it to Fresno State in overtime, which, okay, Fresno's pretty good. So going to take him overtime. That's a, like I mentioned, overtime. We've had, plenty. You got UNLV overtime. Or not UNLV, but, a lot of overtime games so far. There's too many to keep track at the moment. I'm trying to go through my schedule here. I keep going back to top 25 basketball. Not the case. Fresno State on the road, obviously. They win 82-79. Probably shouldn't have come to that, because Fresno had a sizable first half lead. But the tweet said, was if this was a Division III team, we would have won by 50. Is that what it was?
Yeah, 50 or 40, something like that.
Where does that come from? Because the CSU offense is, 300 or worse in every statistical category, essentially? So what is UCSU doing?
I don't know. I'd like to know the context for sure, but I just don't understand it. Colorado State's offense is brutal. It's one of the worst in the conference, and we both expected it to take a bit of a step back after their offensive players that graduated last spring, and then you have some rather inefficient leaders that just by committee, they're your top usage guys. So CSU offense definitely struggling, but I don't know what to make of that D3 comment. It just doesn't really make much sense.
I don't know. One thing they did do good that game, they shot well for 3-point range at about 44%, 12 of 27. And Page nearly had the game winner at the end in regulation. Or no, excuse me, not winner, to tie it. That was overtime. Sent to another overtime. He went 5 of 11, missed that last one. But it's just a weird game. Like, Fresno's good. They're pretty good, I should say. They had Sean Taylor and everything, who had 22 points. It's just all I can say. It's like it's cliche to come back to road stuff, but they didn't shoot well from free throw line for Fresno State in the second half. They only shot 63%, whereas Rams were 72. 3-point was, 40%, but 9 of 22. Shot 40% from the field. Just an offense that didn't do great. Turned the ball over too many times. They allowed too many free throws against the Rams, who took advantage of that, I guess. I guess only 18, but you got a lead. It's like, hold on to the lead, man. You're on the road. Why? What's wrong with teams holding on to leads? Is it just because where they're playing, they get too comfortable? Because they're up, 10? I'm looking here in the first half, 12 points at some point, 11 points consistently through the first half.
Fresno State was up 23-9 with about 10 minutes left in the first half, so that's a steady 14-point lead. Mm-hmm. But over the next 20 minutes of gameplay, so up until about 9 minutes left in the second half, it looks like Colorado State had outscored Fresno State 50-26. So outscored them by 24 points in that span. And Colorado State wasn't able to hold on to a 10-point lead with 9 minutes left in the game.
That too, it goes both ways. So it's like
back and forth. Yeah, so both teams were unable to hold double-digit leads, and eventually the game ended up in overtime.
And then that 50-point come. I want to go back and maybe watch the press conference, because I meant to do it but didn't get around to it. I'd say he's a pretty good motivator, but I don't get his. Nobody could find the context when I asked last night. So it's.
He's always good for a few head scratching lines. Exactly. Eustace is a character to him. We've known that for years now. That line is interesting, and yes, I would like to gently assume that CSU could be a D3 team by 50 points, But, man, this team is struggling to score 70 even if the game goes to overtime. So I think that could spell a little bit of trouble moving forward because they do play against some strong offensive players. Utah State and Wyoming are up next. Both games are on the road. So you could realistically see Colorado State fall to 1-5 at conference play after going 13-5 last year.
Yikes.
So definitely a new season and change of events for the Rams, who were second-best team in the league last season.
All right, let's move forward to next week because we're probably going to be doing these once a week only. So that's you're kind of a week X recap, whatever, last first week of January recap. We got some games on Tuesday, which there's not much to talk about. San Jose State at San Diego State. Is that going to be a 90-12 victory for the Aztecs? Can they score 90?
Yeah, I mean, they have before. San Jose State seems to pummel the weaker teams and then play close with the stronger teams. So who really knows of the Aztecs?
And then a game you cannot see because it's on ESPN News, sorry.
Yeah, that's always unfortunate.
You got Boise at Fresno. That'll be pretty interesting on Tuesday night because obviously road game in Fresno's Taylor, pretty good team. Terry. Sorry, I forget the coach there. Terry there head on the sideline. It's a we'll see. I wish I had the I like to play what's the line in this game. They don't have it yet. Summary. Hold on. Wait.
Ken Pom has it as 1 point. 1 point favorite for Fresno State at home.
That's about right. The predictor on ESPN BPI is actually in the same category. 54% favored for Fresno State. Sounds about right.
Be a good game. And I think if Boise State wants to keep Nevada within their reach for the number one seed for the tournament, like I said, those four games, it's going to mean a lot because Nevada, fortunately for them, they can reasonably start off conference play with at least a 5-0, 6-0, maybe even 7-0 record. And that game against Boise State at home on January 20th will mean a lot for the number one seed for the tournament. But Boise State has much more difficult schedule heading into conference play than Nevada does. So we'll see if Boise State can capitalize on the road.
All right, so there's Wednesday games. I think we can kind of take a nap on Wednesday. Maybe keep one eye on the games. Because you got CSU at Utah State. Yeah. Wyoming at New Mexico. Maybe that game because Wyoming's an interesting road team. But UNLV and Air Force, nothing really excites me about either of those games. I'm sure we could figure something out to why we'd want to watch it. But if you're busy...
Do you think New Mexico can upset Wyoming?
They're at home. I think maybe. I think that's a possibility. Wyoming's not very good away from home.
I wouldn't rule it out.
I would say let's go to the numbers here. Does Ken Pom have their ratings up yet for this game? Probably not.
It does. Wyoming is a 49% chance to win. Uh-oh. So New Mexico's actually favored in this one.
Hold on. This might be a must-watch game. Let's play the game now, Eli. Guess the BPI index for this game. Who's favored?
I think Wyoming is favored.
No.
I'm already wrong.
Way wrong.
New Mexico's heavily favored against Wyoming.
71.4%.
How, though? That just doesn't make sense.
Maybe we need to watch to find out because, they're not bad away from home, but obviously worse just because playing at Dome of Doom is tough. They lost to Denver and at South Carolina. That's their only road losses. And Nevada. They only had 3 road losses this year to teams that are outside of, well, they're all pretty good teams. South Carolina, Nevada. Yeah, those aren't bad teams they lost to. Denver, I guess, is their worst loss, but Denver's probably going to be okay in the Summit League, I want to say. But maybe we should watch it.
71%, though?
Yeah.
I mean, would I be shocked at all if New Mexico won this game? Not a bit. And I'm almost, even before you riddle off those numbers, I would probably take New Mexico. I feel like that's a trap game for Wyoming. That's a tough place to play.
I think I'm going to predict the Cowboys to win. They'll fill out the pit.
I think I'm going to roll with New Mexico.
Ooh, I'm going Cowboys. We don't pick too many games in a moment, but I'm going Cowboys for that one. It'll be a close one. I'm a fan of Hayne Dalton, so that's what I'm going with. All right, so Saturday, really quick. Let's see, anything interesting. There's actually two big games on Saturday I want to see. I want to see Utah State at Nevada because Utah State's been playing. There's a chance they could upset Nevada. That's a 5 o'clock Pacific at Lawler Arena, whatever it's called, the Rural Juror at Dirty Rock. That's what I'm speaking tonight. That game, and then also San Diego State at Boise State, because that's always a rivalry game. It's on ESPN, too, so you can watch that one, Eli. Just a heads up.
There we go.
You can watch Boise.
Yeah, San Diego State and Boise State, those are always good matchups. Those seem to go down to the wire. Not always the prettiest offensive showcase. We've seen that in the past, especially when Nick Duncan is chucking up 11, 12 threes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this one's going to be interesting, because San Diego State, they're going to need to start capitalizing on these road opportunities, and what better place to do it than in Boise? So they could move to 4-1 in league play if they're able to win at Boise. Otherwise, you could see them slip back into the middle of the pack, which very few probably projected heading into the year.
Yeah, so there's that. And like I said, Utah State, Nevada, we'll see what McEwen does against the Martin Twins and Kendall and everything, what they have going on. Because I want to see what Utah State can do, because they're going to have two big wins, one road game win, one home win. And they maybe they're the team that could, I think they're overachieving their ranking at the moment. So I think they were, like I said, seventh in preseason. And I don't think they'll beat Nevada because, let's look at the BPI here. Oh boy, 91% for Nevada.
Oh, okay. That was actually the first number that popped into my head.
91%. So I think Utah State can make it interesting. Depends what team shows up, because they've been up and down and haven't been. There's a reason they're predicted where they're at and why they've lost to like Weber State or Portland State or like BYU wasn't that close in Utah by 10, stuff like that. So losing to OK teams, losing to San Diego State by 20 is not great. But I think if a certain Utah State team shows up, they can make it interesting, but I'm not going to predict them to win. But the
do you feel better about San Diego State on the road than Utah State on the road?
Ooh, man, that's a good one. I feel better about San Diego State.
I think so, too.
I just think if Utah State is going to win, it's going to be because McEwen shows up big, and Sam Merrill will show up, like, maybe combined for 55 points or something.
I don't think Nevada is going to win by more than 5 or 6 points, though. Utah State's been competitive in just about every game besides that San Diego State game. That's kind of an anomaly.
True.
You mentioned that they played excellent on the road against Gonzaga. I know the final score isn't indicative of that, but even without McEwen, they led the Bulldogs for about three quarters of the game, and most of the other games were rather close or on the road, so... Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting. I expect both of these games to probably go down to the wire, so that's an excellent doubleheader for Saturday night.
And also think about it, if Utah State keeps it close, look what happened to Air Force in Nevada. When they kept close, Nevada struggles. Because they seem to, when they get in tight spots, they overcame Air Force, which they should, but Utah State's better than Air Force. And if it's a tight back-and-forth game, they've seemed to kind of clam up a little bit or not play as well as they should.
And that makes sense, too, with Nevada's style, because they tend to lean on isolation, more of an NBA style offense, so sometimes the shots just don't fall, and that's when the other teams can creep up and sneak up on some teams, like you saw San Francisco do in Las Vegas just a couple weeks back. So both of those games are definitely must watch if you can view them, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see if either the road teams can win those games, because if they are able to, then maybe we have a three-way race for the MWC title coming into it. And I mean, Utah State, I was not expecting that they would be standing 3-1 at this point and even be in the conversation of competing against Nevada. So we'll see how those two games turn out.
So right now we're going to check the schedule for the rest of Saturday games. We'll have previews and recaps on those, but no need to go through every game. So Bracket Matrix hasn't really updated of late. And so I would ask you, like, with Boise losing to Wyoming, how much does that hinder their, like, at-large chances?
Well, I mean, the selection committee, so each selection committee member, I'm just going to go deep into this, is the only way I know how to.
That's fine.
So you have 10 selection members, 10 guys on the selection committee, and each member is assigned to about three different conferences. So you do have these selection members that are watching and monitoring each conference. So even though on paper around the nation, a lot of fans and media probably don't know that much about Wyoming, but the ones that are watching the Mountain West Conference, they do know that Wyoming is a very difficult place to play. So on paper, it's not a great-looking loss, but for those that know the conference, know that it's really difficult to win in Laramie. So in short, it obviously doesn't look good on the resume. Boise State is probably, I mean, they're at large. I think their at-large chances took a bigger hit with Oregon than they did with the Wyoming loss, because the Oregon win, which happened back on the 1st of December in Eugene, that was supposed to be Boise State's signature win that could propel them to the NCAA tournament, but the Ducks have just, I mean, they have looked not good at all against Oregon State or Utah, losing both of those games by double digits. So the Ducks probably aren't going to contend for the Pac-12 title even after their Final Four run last season. So I think that really hurts Boise State first and foremost, because that's the team that Boise State was leaning on to help them get to the tournament, and the Oregon Ducks just haven't delivered.
So, okay, let me ask you about this, because I kind of wrote off San Diego State. Are they still in the mix, you think? Because we mentioned after they lost to Wyoming, oh, they're out of it because of the Cal loss and other stuff. But they have the Gonzaga win. What would they need to get back? Were we premature a couple weeks ago saying, oh, they're out?
No, I don't think so. I still think San Diego State will need to win the conference tournament to get in. I think Nevada still probably only has Nevada is probably the only team in the conference that has any sort of chance in an at-large bid. And I know that sounds brutal to Boise State with their 13-3 record, but just the wins aren't there right now. But the best one they can pick up is at Nevada, and if Nevada doesn't make it to the NCAA tournament, then how much weight does that carry, especially if Oregon is a first four or bubble team? That isn't the type of win that gets you to the tournament. So I still think Nevada has the best shot, and I think we have to keep an eye on their KenPom ranking, because if it's in the top 25, they probably have a good chance of getting that large bid. Otherwise, things could get a little bit shaky. So I will say this time and time again. The best case, I think, for this league to get two bids is for Nevada to lose in the Mountain West Tournament final, and we'll see two bids get in that way.
All right, so we'll see. We'll be down there because I think that tournament will be nuts. And so I think that's all we got for today. We talked last week, upcoming week, good 40-plus minutes. Talked about how you could save some money, so go do that, please. Check our Facebook page, MWCYR, because we don't have that many people on there, and we're sort of begging for likes or follows. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcast. Give us a good review. 5-star would be preferably. And you can tell us we suck, but still 5 stars. That's how it works, right?
It's misleading, but it works for sure.
Just let us know. Like, any review you could have would be excellent for this, because we got a great basketball mind, Eli. I'll say mediocre basketball mind. I can find the commentary, what we want to discuss, make some jokes, and give some hard hitting analysis. Like, no, Rams want to beat any D3 team by 50 points. There we go. That's what you get from me. So that's it. So yeah, MWWire.com. That's our website. Obviously, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. Oh, Stitcher as well. If you use Stitcher. It's pretty cool. It's sort of like SoundCloud, but we're not on SoundCloud, so go to Stitcher.com. If you use that platform, you can find us there. And any last comments we need to add about hoops? Eli, are we good?
Okay, one more thing.
Do it.
I'm going to ask you, so Hayden Dalton is at New Mexico and home against Colorado State this week. Mm-hmm. Let's set the over-under at 58 points. What do you think he does, over or under?
So hold on, he's played at New Mexico and who else?
And home against Colorado State.
What's he averaging on the year? I need some background here.
Okay, Hayden Dalton is currently averaging. He's averaging 17.4 points per game, but let's not discount the fact that he has gone off multiple times for at least 25 points this season.
Let me see. Sorry, I closed that page out here. So let me pull up his game log, because he had 34. He had 36 for San Diego State, but only 5 versus Nevada. So you put it at 58.
I'm saying, 58 against two of the weaker teams in the league.
That's a good number. I'm going to go under, though. I think I think 50 is what he'll get. I think he'd get 50. That wouldn't surprise me. But 58, that's almost 30 per game. That's tough.
That is tough. I'll take the over to make things interesting. Ooh. I guess we'll address it on the next podcast. Exactly. I think this could be a good week for him. He's at 36 and 29, 28, 30. So he's done it before. We'll see what he does this week.
Possibly that's at 5, too, versus Nevada.
Gotta
throw that there.
So it works both ways.
All right, but yeah, thanks for listening. Check us out at MWR.com, and I will see you next time, folks.